from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Wave, Figgy. Wave.
Hey, shout out to my sister Trina and my niece Nisha watching on the YouTube channel.
They told you to wave. Sure, why not? Yeah, let's wave at that. Let's listen to D'Amico Ryans. I'm really interested in this one because there've been some injuries, a lot of guys out of practice. I didn't even count them, but it's a lot. And we're going to see how that might weigh in to Friday night game. Here's D'Amico.
How did you feel about the work you guys got done while you were here?
And being here in Cleveland, I think we've had really, 4 really good days of work. Just telling some guys, like, I felt like we finally had real camp practice, just how efficient we were offensively, like defensively, being where we're supposed to be. Like, it felt like real camp practices. So I was happy to get the work in. I think we accomplished a lot by being here.
You have all had some various injuries on the offensive line. Does that change at all any of your thinking of who you might start in the preseason game?
No, doesn't change it at all. No, we keep going with our offensive line. We're always, moving guys around, having guys play different positions. So it doesn't, whoever's available and ready to go, they'll be out there for preseason.
Coach, do you think that being out here at this high school gives guys some of that old school feel about when they were going to, when you got a lot of young guys who
right.
were playing high school ball and things like that in the atmosphere?
Yeah, anytime you step on a high school campus again, I think the nostalgia kicks in and we all go back to, man, I remember my high school feel, whether it's how the stadium looks. You just start to think immediately how it was on those whatever Friday nights playing in high school. It takes us all back to, and what I truly believe in, like the pure, when you were playing for the pure joy of the game, the fun of the game. And I hope our guys were able to recollect on that and bring up some old memories for them being out here at the high school today. And we're very, appreciative of University School for having us here. They've done a great job of hosting us.
What Jake Hansen's been able to do, he's had quite the journey, undrafted free agent, made the team for you guys last year. And you see him out there, he's back out there working out with you guys. What have you made of his preseason so far?
Yeah, Jake continues to get better. Every time he steps out on the field, like, he continues to surprise me every day. He just gets better and better and better. And that's what, that's what coaching, that's what the NFL is all about. You see a young player who is undrafted and a guy, you see, man, can you mold him into contributing and playing meaningful snaps? I think every day where Jake, he's one of our hardest workers, right? Whether it's in special teams, like he's competing in drills at the linebacker spot. Jake, he's done a great job. We put a lot on him, asking him to play all 3 linebacker spots. And Jake is the one guy who can handle it and not blink when we ask him to step in there. So a guy of his caliber being undrafted and being able to serve multiple roles for us just shows everybody, like, it's just not about where you're selected in the league. It's about what you do with the opportunity that you've gotten. And Jake has really taken advantage of his opportunity.
Does he have kind of like, you almost have like a kind of the gold standard for some of the undrafted free agent success with Z's? You kind of point to him and you talk to some of these guys like, hey, look where he came from, look where he is now. You have that throughout the roster.
Yeah, when you look at undrafted guys, I think that's where you're very proud of those guys, because a lot of a lot of people would say they probably don't make it, but our league is really, it's comprised of a lot of guys who are undrafted. It's not comprised of all the first round picks, right? That's where the depth of your team, the guys who are going to grind and really find out who they are, right? It's undrafted guys. That's the guys you want. And I point to Aziz as a guy who's undrafted, right? And now he's had some success being a starter last year and now being here with us. Jake has done a great job as an undrafted guy as well. So I'm excited about – I get excited about developing young guys who a lot of people say can't do something or they shouldn't be able to. Like, that's what fires me up to work with those guys even more.
What's a new day for Nico Collins and CJ? A good timing. What were you saying from those guys, the connection that they just –
Today with our practice, this is a very crisp practice today. Guys, we put a lot of work in the past 2 days, so we wanted to deload them a little bit, and guys had a nice crisp practice today.
Coach, your team was the first team to start training camp. You all have already played the game. How do you monitor the reps going forward in the next couple of weeks as far as the preseason is concerned, knowing that your guys have started and been practicing? So.
Yeah, we've been rolling in camp for a while now. See, it seems like a long time, and I look ahead like, wow, we still have a good amount of time to go, probably a month left before, you know, the true regular season kicks off. So when we look at reps, I'm like, I'm monitoring reps every day. I'm monitoring reps, seeing where we are, keeping a track of it, just making sure we're smart with how we're loading our guys with the reps and making sure we're peaking at the right time. Because when you start camp as early as we have with the Hall of Fame game, I don't want guys to come in and we're peaking right at preseason week two. That's not the time to be at your peak. So we're always going to always monitoring it, and our sports performance staff, they've done a great job of being on it as well. So just working with them, and we're all in sync with making sure, at the end of the day, making sure we take care of our guys the right way. Just want to be as healthy as possible, right, going into the season.
Any update on Titus Howard?
Titus is good.
Me too.
Go ahead.
With the two rookies running back, it feels like they maybe lost a little opportunity with the game getting canceled early. And you kind of had to maybe catch up on some of the stuff that maybe had planned for Jawar and British Brooks because the game, they lost a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. With the rookies, the two rookie running backs, I know. It sucks that the game was canceled, but it was an extra game. So I don't think they've lost out on their opportunities to showcase what they had. I've actually seen them this week actually get better in practice. Right? From my perspective, I think they've done a much better job. They needed that game exposure to see what it really takes. They got that exposure, and now they were able to get better and build on what they did in the game. They built on that in practice. So the game did it. They didn't lose anything from the game being canceled.
They made the most out of it.
For sure. Out of the couple reps they did get, like, they made the most out of it. You see, Brooks made a nice play, special teams. Jawar had a run. They think we could have done a better job of finishing and running the ball. So now I see how he's running the ball in practice. Like, man, he's done a great job this week, probably his best week of camp so far. So that game definitely served this purpose for showing the young guys, hey, what does it truly take to, you know, build and get better in the league? They've got that answer. They've got that wake-up call, so to speak, and they've shown it this week in practice.
Last one. I know he said something to you yesterday about how he, you know, when he scripts plays, sometimes he scripts plays for CJ to go to this last possession. Just to kind of get the stress of what if this doesn't work out, what if this doesn't work out, here's your last option. How intensive is that process in particular with CJ, and in what ways do you maybe on defense try to prepare your defensive players for different situations that may occur?
As coaches, as you prepare for practice, you want to try to put your players through as many stressful situations as possible. So when it comes to scripting plays, you don't always script for success and make it easy on players, because when they get in the game and the picture changes or it's difficult, like, how do they respond? Like, we want to see our guys respond and go through the difficult as hard as we can make it here in practice. So whether it's offense, right, scripting for getting to your third read in the progression, whether it's a run play that you know you're outnumbered on, still running that play. And a lot of things we do is also to teach, right? And you have to get it on film to teach guys of why you do certain things and why you don't do certain things. Also, defensively, like, we may put guys in situations where it's not a favorable position. It's not a favorable, all right, down and distance, not a favorable situation. How do you respond? And that's what, as coaches, it's our job to continue to put our guys in as stressful and as many game-like situations as possible in practice.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, thank you, guys. All right.
All right, so D'Amico got into quite a lot of detail on all those questions, except one.
Yeah.
Except one.
He's good. He's good. So if he's good.
Any update on Titus? Titus is good.
All right, so nothing to worry about.
Is Titus good?
Hey, he said he's good. Yeah, if he's good, I'm good. Nothing to see here then, huh? I shouldn't be worried, man. You know what? Because I trust D'Amico.
I mean, he went in. Like,
he wouldn't lie to me.
No, God, no. He was talking about Jake Hansen for two questions. Like three paragraphs if you were writing it out. What about Titus Howard?
Titus is good.
Okay. That's
it. And I got to say, too, it was kind of a little suspenseful because it took a long time for them to ask about Titus.
I would have been the first one shoot.
Yeah.
So first question, yo. Yeah. First question, man. Yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there like, damn.
Yeah.
Is it about to happen? Like, somebody going to ask about Titus?
Be honest. Do you think Titus is good?
Titus is good.
He good.
Chris?
I think he's good.
I'm going to trust D'Amico here, so he's good. He's good.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Yeah, he hopped up on the cart, but you know these offensive linemen, a little lazy.
That whole cart thing has taken on a life of its own, man. Like, he wasn't carted out on a cart. I could see that. Like, yeah. You start getting technical. You want to be accurate too. So they were technically accurate. He rode off on a cart. But, I mean, Laramie Tunsil might have ridden off on a cart, too.
Yeah.
You know, just. Yeah. Just.
I think it's a big difference if he's on the field and they bring the cart out and he can't even walk off on the field. But
yeah.
I guess technically he walked off
the field and then took like a golf cart. I guess like sitting. I didn't see the video, but I guess like sitting or maybe whatever on the golf cart. But there's also a medical cart. That has like a longer bed.
Yeah.
And they can like sit up and stretch their legs or lay down or whatever. So, yeah, technically he wasn't carted off like classically, you know, like you would expect, like the kid at like the receiver in Atlanta that apparently suffered a pretty bad injury. He was carted off like in traditional medical emergency carted off.
Yeah.
Titus just rode the cart.
Yeah. All I know is Buddy better be ready week one.
Let me ask again. Is he good?
He good.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Titus is good.
Hey, man. Nothing to worry about, man. We overreacting.
I'm not going to say he's bad. I'm not going to say I'm worried. But I think there's something going on.
He's good. You heard him. Titus is good.
All right, just concerned, right?
Just a little bit curious, you know, concerned, you know, update. You know, maybe a better update would be better for us all, but I get it. You know, they're going to protect the player and all that stuff. They're not like flat out, you know, perpetual liars like the Astros. This always happens in camp.
But see, the thing that got me a little worried too, because then he said the same thing about Joe Mixon.
He good. Is Titus good?
We have not seen, man.
Titus is good.
We have not seen Joe Mixon at all. So that got me a little worried.
Actually, we haven't seen him with pads on.
No.
We saw him in the first couple practices, and that's it. I will say, I think the Texans, I feel better about the Texans offensive line because of Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
You know.
They did pick up some insurance. That was insurance.
Yeah.
For something like that, because Titus Howard, you see, he missed a lot of time last season.
Yeah.
And they were scrambling at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they found their mojo, but. Remember they end up having Michael Dieter and that was it was rough trying to find that replacement. But now, if Titus Howard is out and if he's not good, then you have a for sure replacement ready for him.
Now, I think it's going to be a little bit of a tell. First of all the guys that were out today, I don't expect to play. Jonathan Alexander was talking about that too, just because it's a Friday practice, and if you're going to treat it like a regular season, sort of ramp up to a game. If you don't practice on Friday, you don't play on Sunday.
Yeah.
So today is their Friday practice. on hump day. So I don't expect them to play. But I think it's going to be a telling. Like he was asked about, you know, keep going with the offensive line, and CJ's out there against maybe an offensive line that's going to be pieced together a little bit. He didn't seem concerned about that. And I think maybe Blake Fisher was a big part of that.
Yeah, I think so too. So maybe the whole Titus is good.
Yeah.
So we ain't got to really worry about that. But yeah, man, I don't know.
I'm a little bit curious on the Jake Hansen biopic that he did, basically the 30 for 30 that he did on Jake Hansen. Was it, that just a writer like, I'm gonna do a Jake Hansen story, so I gotta ask two questions? Or because if you listen to his answers, like, he was raving about Jake Hansen.
Yeah, that kind of got me hyped a little bit.
Yeah,
because we were just talking about it earlier. Mm-hmm. You had question marks about the linebackers.
Yeah,
and maybe that's the Pixie Dust candidate right there.
Yeah.
So maybe
talking about how he plays all three linebacker spots, how he's a great story. Doesn't matter where you're drafted, is what you do with the opportunity and all that. But I know how this. We all know how this works.
Yeah.
Like sometimes as a writer, it says, "Oh, I got to do a Jake Hansen story." So they just go back, and because this is their only access, they go back to that same topic over and over again. Like if he were doing a story on Henry To'o, would we be saying the same thing about Henry To'o? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair to say. I think we probably would. I mean, remember, he did it with Brevin Jordan earlier. He was raving about Brevin Jordan a couple times. Mm-hmm. And we like, dang, maybe he got something
Somebody was doing a story on Brevin Jordan.
Yeah, it could be.
And they are going to monitor the reps. And this ties in with what we were talking about at the start of the show today. Like, you know, I'm a little bit... difference of opinion, not necessarily critical of D'Amico Ryans, because we love him and we know how awesome he is, but difference of opinion on how they're going to play in the regular season. He didn't seem concerned about that because he's got confidence. He's going to monitor all these reps, and they asked about that. I just don't want like C.J. Stroud and some of these guys to play more than like two series, maybe four series in the entire preseason.
Yeah, I think they should play. We talked about this a little earlier. I think if the offense go out, the number ones go out there, and they march down the field,
see, that's
score,
key, yeah.
Then, all right, we good.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all good. But if they, you know, maybe do a three and out or something like that, I will trot them back out there to try to, you know, just work them kinks out while you can right now before the regular season.
I also think they're going to be doing it as much for Bobby Slowick as anybody on the offense, because they've been getting worked a little bit, especially lately, by the defense. Maybe they just want to put them out there and gain their confidence against a good defense, but not a defense that's just been seeing them every day and has their number, you know?
Yeah, I think that's very important, too, because we seen last season against Baltimore, and Bobby Slowick admitted it on this show.
Yeah.
He said, you know, I kind of got my boat rocked a little bit.
Yeah,
same thing with CJ. So
maybe it's a confidence for Slowick as much as the offense.
Yeah, I just think they need to get the juice going. They need to gel as much as they can in the preseason to get ready for week one so they don't get their boat rocked or have a little rust.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. All right, so our confessions are next, and I got one that's going to tie in with Figgy's Olympic crush. Yeah. I'm gonna talk about that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Man, I hope my wife is not listening to confessions today. For both of my confessions, I could get in trouble for, but one more than the other, for sure. And that
one. Do you like your wife listening to the show?
I don't care who listens. None of that stuff ever bothers me, but her more than her for some reason a little bit. Because it's like, first of all, I don't want to necessarily talk about all this right now with you. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, this and this and this.
Man,
like,
my wife do not listen to this show at all. Yeah. Even if she have a chance. Mm-hmm. She one day, I think I was off, and we was in the car driving.
Yeah.
And I tried to put it on to see what y'all was talking about.
Yeah.
She's like, man, cut this station off. Don't nobody want to listen to no AM radio. I was just like,
bite your tongue.
Yeah, I'm just
listen
like,
on the Odyssey
dang.
App.
I'm just like, dang.
Yeah, that's where I work.
I think I'm the only person who wife don't listen to the show at all and have no desire to listen.
Oh, don't worry. My girlfriend doesn't either. My girlfriend
the good thing is I can talk a whole bunch of smack about it.
Here's the thing. Like, okay, I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble with my wife. Like, she'll say some opinions on something we were talking about. And if it was anybody else, I'd like torch them. I'd like, what the hell are you talking about? But I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's one way to look at it. I'm like, okay. Well, she's not going to like any of my confessions. I'll start with this one.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Okay, so remember yesterday, just yesterday, I was like, Figgy, that Your Honor is, we watched season one, episode one. Of Your Honor. We're talking about binging shows. And I was talking about how binging a show that doesn't have a finish is so frustrating. But you said Your Honor goes two seasons, has an ending, one of the best shows that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
All right? So we watched season one. And there was a little gore in season in episode one. And so we started episode two, and we're about 30 minutes in, 20 minutes in, and she's like, I can't.
Oh, man.
She goes, this is too much. Because it got real hairy.
Yeah.
Like it got real hairy.
Yeah.
And she just doesn't like that gore, you know, that real violent stuff.
Yeah.
And so my confession is I've done this with two or three shows that she just doesn't like. I'm gonna have to watch it on the down low, man.
That's
do you have any like that?
Yeah, I did that a couple times. Mm-hmm. Where it was a couple of shows that my wife, she was into, but mm-hmm. every time I tried to turn it on, she was like, oh, I want to watch this
yes,
right now.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, I got to sit here. I want to watch it right now.
Yeah.
And it was a couple times where I just went on and finished the show. And then later on, months later, she's like, oh, yeah, let's start on that show again.
I kept telling
and
her,
too. I had to fake it. I had to fake it like I'd never seen it, knowing damn well I knew how it was going in.
Well, like, Chris, do you have any like that with your girl?
Yeah, I do, actually. Breaking Bad, she just can't get into it. Same thing with Better Call Saul. I tried Better Call Saul, and she was just like, I can't. I can't. So I ended up watching them by myself, and ever since then, she just doesn't want to watch him.
Yeah. No, and that's frustrating, man, because, like, a lot of times you want to kind of share it, you know, and talk about it and all that. And she tried. I'll give her that credit. And she, about 20 minutes, she goes, I can't.
Now, if you keep going and she in on it, she'll get it.
Does it stay, like, real violent, you know, like the first two episodes?
Yes and no. It get really, my thing is, it get really intense. Where you just like,
I don't mind it, man. Yeah.
So it get really intense where stuff start crashing together where you like, oh man, where you got to keep going.
Yeah.
So tell her stick in there.
There was one, I'm trying to remember what it was, that had a lot of violence in it. And I would just watch it when I'd go fishing, you know, at night. And I'd watch the whole thing like that. Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right, so I finally found out why a lot of people were hating on Noah Lyles.
Mm-hmm.
When he won that race, and I seen a whole bunch of people just randomly like, congratulations, Cornball. I seen somebody call him Cornball Jamal. A square from Delaware. Congratulations. I'm just like, why
are they hating on the gold medal winner? Yeah,
so I did
or the silver medal winner.
Yeah, so I did some research. I'm like, what did he say?
What happened?
I totally forgot this was the same guy that said this about the NBA.
You know, the thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times. But that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
He had so many NBA people upset with him. I remember that too. But I didn't realize this was the same guy that that pissed off so many NBA fans and NBA Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I seen all the hate going towards him, like, congratulations, Cornball. I'm like, oh, y'all still mad over this
over
quote?
That.
I thought it was hilarious, man. NBA Twitter can sometimes be a little too sensitive, man.
It is.
NBA Twitter, something else, man. It's something else.
You think? Watch this. These are my confessions. Look, man. There's another one that my wife's going to get mad at me about, and that's okay. So you've got Rebecca Andrade, the Brazilian. She's Bay, the Brazilian gymnast. To me, like, I kind of played along. She's awesome, Rebecca Andrade, etc. But it ain't even close for me, man. It ain't really? it ain't even close. We all have our Olympic crushes. Mine is so far ahead. It's like she's actually running on the track.
Interesting fact why Sydney was able to handle this semifinal heat with such class. If you were to remove the hurdles from everybody else in the field, their PR at 400 meters is still slower than Sydney's PR over 400 meter hurdles. Let that sink in.
Oh my goodness.
No one in the field can run faster without hurdles.
And no one is as close
to
Sydney McLaughlin. Lord have mercy, as you say.
She all right, man. I'm looking right now. She all right. I wasn't familiar with her.
I remember her from 4 years ago. And she wasn't married then. And I did that same thing that stupid people do. You know, she wasn't married 4 years ago, and I thought, whoo.
Yeah.
Now she's Sydney McLaughlin Love or something like that.
Yeah,
And I did the same stupid thing. Oh, she got married? Okay.
You had a chance.
we always
do that.
She doesn't like 60-year-old Hispanic men.
we do that all the time. Like, it could be a hot girl.
Yeah.
As soon as she get tied down,
I'm like, damn, she's
just
got
like,
married?
Man, I'm done with it.
I'm out.
Man. Yeah, unfollow.
I was considering it.
Yeah,
I was considering.
You had a chance, man. You blew it. Watch this. These are my confessions. So I think celebrities should do at least one inning of play-by-play in baseball.
This is
man.
So good.
I love it so much. So this is what it sounded like on the Braves broadcast when Atlanta legend, Big Boy of Outkast, mm-hmm. was on there.
There it is. You got him. Yeah. What'd I tell you? Go on, sit down somewhere.
See, we just needed you on the play-by-play.
Go on, sit down somewhere. I tell you, man, if y'all need me again, I'm going to be down in the box eating some cheese pieces.
So Bryce Elder struck out the batter, and he said, go on, sit down somewhere. Go on, sit down somewhere. I think celebrities need to do at least one ending of play-by-play, man. It's really so entertaining because I know sometimes baseball can be a little boring, especially listening to it, but having a random celebrity in there just watching the game and reacting live to it, it's so good, man.
I just wish more play-by-play announcers or celebrities or whoever would do play-by-play like that. Like, not the old baseball, well, there's a ground ball to third, and gets him out by a step.
But sometimes, I
want to hear more go on, sit down somewhere.
Yeah, but you know baseball. A lot of...
That would be awful.
No, I literally, when I'm watching the game and someone strikes out, I'm just like, go sit down.
Sit your ass down.
Yeah, go sit down, Garcia. Yeah.
Why can't we have that, even if it's a celebrity or not?
But see, baseball, it's a bunch of old farts in there that... feel like, oh, baseball have to be like
this. A certain way.
Yeah, get Big Boy in there. Get Snoop in there more often.
Snoop has done his share.
Yeah, because we all watch baseball. We don't watch baseball just like how the play-by-play people announce
it. And they're awesome. Look, I'm not ripping
play-by-play.
It's really good. I just wish there would be more like this.
I like it. Yeah. I wouldn't say I want more play-by-play announcers to call it like Big Boy.
Yeah.
But... just bring in a celebrity once in a while and bring in the fan experience of it.
Yeah.
Watching the baseball game, like, sit your ass down somewhere. Get back to the dugout. I need more of that.
Yes, out of here. I totally agree. I got a quick one here before we move on to the running back position. Watch this. These are my confessions. We mentioned this Monday, and if you weren't listening, we're going to have a new In the Loop with a new co-host.
August 19th.
Set your clocks, set your alarms, whatever it may be. My confession is I'm starting to get pretty pumped up. Like, you and I were involved. Yeah. We did some mock shows and that went through the whole process, and we saw 150-something or more applicants and all that. But the as we're getting a little closer here, it's going to be a week from Monday, and we're kind of starting to really get our feet on the ground with the new show. Like, this has been a blast, and shout out to some of the listeners that really like what we're doing here with Chris and Figgy this week and next week, by the way. But I'm getting pretty pumped up because this is going to be nice.
Yeah, I'm super excited, and right now I'm pretty much keeping the seat warm for the person we're going to bring in. And look, man, it can't get here no quicker, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. You guys are gonna love it, I promise. And I don't break those promises. All right, so you know, while I was thinking about this, like just in the last break, and it ties in with when we were listening to D'Amico Ryans, I should say last segment. And so he's talking about like their offense is gonna be out there. They're gonna certainly adjust the offensive line. Doesn't matter. Not worried about this or that. Like the offense has struggled against this defense. But they actually looked pretty damn good, even though it was the second teamers against Chicago in the Hall of Fame game. And it just ties in exactly with what we're talking about. What's the one thing you want to see Friday night? There's a lot of options. We want to see a lot. But what is the one player? What is the one thing that has the most to gain on Friday night against the Steelers? We're going to talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I know what I'm watching, man, and I'm going to watch it very, very carefully. I think it could be like game changer, literally, for the Texans this year. Let's talk about what we know the Texans are going to have this year. Now, doesn't mean they are, but in our hearts, we know they're going to have an elite quarterback. We know they're going to have a receiving core that is, I'll say the word again, I think I said it twice in the last segment, badass. We know this defense is going to be good, maybe really, really good, as we talked about yesterday. We know Dalton Schultz is gonna be able to produce. He's a veteran. We don't know about the running back position. Like we don't. We think we know what Joe Mixon's going to be. There were a couple of questions about him, and he's been a workhorse in the past, but we're not exactly sure if he's going to be able to carry that load again this year, and we don't know what's behind him. One player. I want you to give me one player. I think you're going to agree with mine. And Chris Santiago, I want you to give us one. This is like for preseason game. I think this is going to go a long way when it comes to Dameon Pierce.
Yeah.
I think Dameon Pierce is just going to, like, if he's that guy that we saw in 2022, then everything changes.
I agree.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's pretty much what they need from a running back too, the second running back. And if they can get that type of production from Dameon Pierce, and it ain't got to be 900 yards or nothing like that.
Yeah. But
if he could come in and still produce, and I don't want to put a number on it, but yeah, let's say maybe he give you, let's say 400, 500.
No, let's
yards.
Go 7 or 8.
Seven or eight.
Like because of every Super Bowl team, and yeah, we're mentioning it. I guess we have to, because we're talking about how good this team's going to be. They got a stud number two.
Yeah. And I think he could be that. Like I said, he wasn't like a first round pick where you got to, you know, give him everything so he can try to see what you got out of him. Mm-hmm. He was a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
And so if he could be a good number two, that's a win right there.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible he could be, man. I just listening to him talk and seeing how excited D'Amico Ryans is about him, I think it's a possibility he could have a bounce back year.
Well, let's hear how excited D'Amico Ryans is about him.
Dameon has done a great job since the spring. I just see a guy who has a clear mind, fast feet. He's playing decisive, right? I mean, he's explosive. So you're back to seeing that rookie Dameon who can gain a lot of yards for us, and he has a physical mindset to him that I really love. Love how he finishes the runs. I'm excited to see him, you know, play on Friday to see, so everyone can see, right?
Right.
This new/old Dameon, how he was his rookie year.
You know, I'm excited. Like, and if you just get anything close to 2022, and by the way, D'Amico is really good at pumping up his players that are working hard and all that. But that just seemed even a little extra for him.
That was very extra.
Yeah.
So I think I'm a little bit sold on Dameon Pierce. I don't think he's going to have the year he had last season where he eventually get benched and eventually unplayable. I think he will be a big part of this offense. And like I said, he don't have to be the workhorse. But if he could just come in and give Joe Mixon a breather and keep the pace going, I think that's a really good thing, man.
Yeah.
And I've been saying all off season, man, they need another running back. And I didn't think Dameon Pierce was that other running back. I thought you needed somebody else.
Yeah.
And if Dameon Pierce can prove me wrong, prove us wrong, and be that second running back, I think it's a perfect chance that this offense could click, especially with two running backs.
Like, I don't know if I was skeptical. I was hopeful. Like, for Dameon Pierce to finally get it. And it was really cool and enlightening, and I think very telling on just kind of the work that he was going to put in and has put in, like picking up Bobby Slowick's offense and this blocking style, et cetera. Like, he sort of fell on the sword last year with us.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking with him about, like, it was tough grasping it and all that. Well, now we really even haven't, like, even at training camp when they go full bore, as I like to say, you know, 11 on 11, we really haven't seen it because they, you know, they're not going all the way to the ground. So it kind of looks like he's running well, but you're not sure. Well, Friday night, you're going to be sure, you know, and I think that's why I'm just so excited about, if he is that guy, then we're really on the side.
Yeah, I think you're good. And I think Darik is staying his role because I don't think his role was to be a second running back.
Yeah.
I think he did a lot of special team stuff. But if he can go back to his old role and Dameon Pierce could be running back too, then I think you're good.
Yeah. Well, let's hear from Dameon Pierce about exactly what we're talking about.
How's the body feel? You're not getting tackled and taking the ground, but you are taking shots. You're doing blitz pickup.
Who ain't getting tackled? We tackling out here. We tackle every day. I go to the ground every day.
So how does body feel once you're getting tackled?
My body's fine, man. They doing. I guess I'm gonna call it brotherly love, man. They showing me some tough love out here. You know, get my body ready for the season. So, Friday won't be too much of a shock, I guess. I guess that's the only good thing I get from it. But yeah, man, my body feeling good. Anytime I feel anything little happen, whether it's a bruise, whether I'm sore, you know, I'm on top of it with Ro. Ro and staff, they do a great job of making sure you know, they're on top of things. And we got a great communication line with those guys. So, you know, the training room is always open. They're always here for us. Same thing with Coach Mike and his staff. You know, we're always taking preventative measures. You know, we're doing stretches. We was in the pool the other day, like the way we work out, like, and they always track our steps. Like, hey, DP, you was a little high today. You know, we're going to look out for you in the lift, or, you know, we're not doing these jumps, X, Y, Z. You know, they always cater us. And that's one thing I can appreciate from the strength staff and the ATR guys. You know, they take care of us, and they let us just go out and play ball, man. They take all the thinking out of it when it comes to our body, because they are 9 times out of 10, they already got something planned for us. And we just follow their rules, and we just come out here play fast, man.
Some of that was about the strength and conditioning staff, but what he was really saying there early was about how he's starting to get it a little bit. He's starting to feel more comfortable with what they're doing. And like that's why, like, there are a lot of guys that you want to see do well. You want to see if they can make the team or make the depth chart. The one that comes to mind immediately is John Metchie. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a guy that can be a guy that changes everything for this offense.
Yeah.
And that's Damian. That's Damian Pierce.
Yep. I think he could be that guy. And you mentioned Metchie. I think if you get a good Metchie, I think that's great. That's
cool.
I think that's found money.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that type of Metchie,
mm-hmm.
I think the Texans would still be fine.
Can the Texans be great if Metchie is not playing at a higher level? Yes. Can the Texans be great if Kenyon Green doesn't necessarily pan out? Yes.
Yeah.
Can the Texans be great? What's another one that's kind of on the, you know, who did you want to see more of and could certainly help this team? I'll say Toto.
Yeah.
Yes, they can still be great. But can they be great if they don't have that number two running back? I think that's a bigger ask.
Yeah, and seeing how Mixon isn't really practicing as much mm-hmm. in training camp, I don't know how that's going to be in the season. Maybe he is going to step into the season fully healthy and never miss a snap or a beat. But if you have that second running back, that second running back is very important.
Yeah.
And if you could get 2022 Damian Pierce as the number two.
Yeah. We're onto something.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing.
There are a couple of other candidates. Now, Chris, you mentioned one earlier, and even though he's not my number one, I think he's a valid one.
Yeah, and that's a Jalen Petrie.
Yeah.
And mostly it's because in college, he played the nickel.
Yeah.
Coming with the Texans, he's kind of all over the place. You don't know what he's really going to play. Yeah, he's playing nickel here. Yeah, he plays safety. So just I want to see him line up at nickel against the Steelers just to see what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, practice is a different story, but actually, like, live reps, I feel like that'll tell, you know, what we're really going to see from Jalen Petrie this year.
No, he would be my number two on the list. The only reason I don't have him above Damian Pierce, because Pierce can be such a huge factor. And also, they got Desmond King. They've got is it Miles Bryant? They've got guys that maybe don't make you great, but you can get by in the secondary, you know, certainly at the nickel position with those guys.
Yeah, I think they could definitely get by without mm-hmm. Petrie being in that nickel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still a little nervous about the safety position. I know we had Jonathan Alexander on, mm-hmm. and he said probably no Justin Simmons.
And it doesn't look like it.
Yeah,
he's
it
in
looked
New
like
Orleans
he's going
right
to
now.
New Orleans. But yeah. That still kind of made me nervous, man, because mm-hmm. I was still thinking Petrie playing in that safety position and having a better year three, having a bounce back year.
Yeah.
But if he's going to be more in the nickel, then I'm a little worried. Unless he got a lot of faith in, mm-hmm. you know, the rookie Kalen Bullitt, then, you know, let's go. But yeah. I'm still a little nervous about that.
It's not a real long list of players like Pierce, like Petrie perhaps, that if they really take a step up, then they elevate the entire expectation. I do think there's one more, and this one might be a little bit of a reach, but we know what really good teams have. Like, they have at least two. You were talking about the Ravens. They got like four.
Yeah.
You know, really good running backs. The real good teams have two real good running backs. They also have two real good tight ends. And I'm looking at Cade Stover. And maybe he's not even going to crack the top three. You know, who knows? We'll find out here real soon. But, you know, Brevin Jordan, I kind of feel like maybe he'll take another step, but the clock is ticking. Whereas Cade Stover, like, it's all starting, and he's showing some stuff.
Yeah, I think Brevin is I think he's okay, mm-hmm. but I think they need that traditional tight end. Mm-hmm. And I don't look at Brevin Jordan as a traditional tight end. I look at him as a weapon.
Yeah.
And D'Amico was raving about him a little earlier, a couple months ago, and I think it's a possibility they can move him around. I don't know if they're going to put him in the slot or something. I don't know. I ain't going to sit here and act like I'm the X's and O's guys. But it looked like they want to use him as a weapon. And I think Stover, I think they're going to use him as a traditional tight end that can block, that can catch, and all that stuff, man. So I think Cade Stover you can make a case for Cade Stover being that second traditional tight end.
And it's all about, like, you know, what the defense is going to be looking at. Like, let's say Damian Pierce does step up and takes, you know, gets back to his old self, like D'Amico was talking about. Let's say Cade Stover, he don't have to be even close to Dalton Schultz, but if he's a weapon and he's a blocker and something to worry about, well, you're lining up on the defense and you're a safety on the opposing defense, let's say, and you're looking to your left and you see Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell. You're looking to your right, you see Nico Collins. You look behind the line of scrimmage, you see maybe a two-back set with Damian Pierce and Joe Mixon. What the hell are you going to do, man?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think Cade could take that next step, too, especially with Tegan Quatoriano being hurt all the time, man.
Yeah.
So I think he could definitely.
Scary hours, y'all. Scary hours.
Yeah, and then let's give another example. You got, you know, Stephon Diggs over here, Tank Dell over here. You got Nico over there. You got Schultz here, and then you got Stover next to him with one back. Yeah. Like, sign me up.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sign me up, too. I think that's a perfect, I guess, way for Stover to get in there, man, mm-hmm. and take that next step. Like I said, I don't know about Quatoriano.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's always hurt. That's somebody I'm not really counting
on. And really, as much as we pull for Brevin Jordan, I don't know about that either.
I don't know either. We think he's going to have a good season, and he, I don't want to say not show up, but mm-hmm. seems like he's not really a part of a lot of stuff.
Well, he's just not there. For me, it's Damian Pierce. And I think for D'Amico, you heard him earlier, really raving about him. I think it's Damian Pierce. Like, that's sort of the... not to go full, you know, cliche here, but kind of a real X factor. Like he's just a real X factor with what this offense, you know, might be. Hey, man, let's go. Speaking of that, let's go around the NFL. And there's a lot of news happening today. I mean, like, a lot involving Brandon Ayuk, Jim Harbaugh. And, man, the NFL is fining teams about practice. We talking about practice and they're getting fines? We're
talking about practice.
That's what we're going to be talking about around the NFL next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds! Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.